Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Linda, and it's Soul in the City. This is the Power Hour with Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas. We had that the first Saturday of every month, but we want you to get your Bibles out, relax, enjoy, listen, and get a word. And as I have said, let's keep Trayvon Martin and his family up in prayer. We pray for justice. We pray for both sides of the family, for the Zimmerman and for Trayvon Martin, until justice is served. Because our God is the God of justice. This is Resurrection Weekend, Resurrection Sunday. Our God resurrects all dead situations. He revives, restores, and replenishes. We're going to finish out with hearing New Breed and Israel. We're moving forward in the name of Jesus. Let's enjoy and listen.
Carol, man, go another one.
Linda.
I hear the Lord say in my spirit, it's a step, it's a step, take a step forward, take a step this morning into the forward, and Jesus, but not the back, don't look back. Put your hand to the plow this morning. It's never, 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 never looked back. Jesus, how many of you would make that declaration? It's not going back, not going back. Not going back to the old way, to the old word, to the old habits and mindsets. I'm not going back anymore, no.
Okay, not going back. Any of y'all plan on going back? No, I didn't think so. Good deal. All righty, this is Pastor Patricia. I'm so glad to be with you today. And I want to open up with prayer. And we just thank you, Father, for this time and for this opportunity to share with your people. We thank you for the wisdom and revelation, knowledge, and understanding flowing. We give you all the glory, we give you praise, and we give you the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And all that agree said amen.
Amen.
Well, today I want to do a couple of things. One thing I would like to do, if you're ever in the Nashville area, we would love for you to come and visit and worship with us at World Covenant Church International. I want to also invite you to pull up our website, www.worldcovenantchurch.org. You can also listen to messages and sermons there on the website. So I usually don't mention it too much about a website or services, but I just really felt compelled to just encourage you. And even if you're not in the Nashville area, but you just feel compelled to travel to Nashville, even just to come to World Covenant Church International and be a part of our services, we would just welcome you. We really want to welcome you to do that. And there on the website, you can also find out about other upcoming events. Well, it's been a while, at least a month, since I've talked to you. The last time Pastor Mark was with you, I believe. And so today is going to be kind of a laid back. We're going to talk about some things, but I really want to hear from you all today. And the topic that came to me was status quo in the church. Status quo in the church. So when you hear the word status quo, you know, I want to know what comes to your mind. Think of a clique, a meeting of certain standard to be accepted, keeping up with the Joneses. What's the world system or idea of status quo? What messages are being sent to our children, our families, marriages, relationships, business? And how is this status quo affecting us? And what are the dangers of status quo? And again, I really want to hear your input on this, because when this came to me in prayer, I thought it was very interesting. Status quo and then the church. And we know that we as born-again believers, we are the church. The church is not the actual building, things of that nature. And even how the status quo, how has it crept into the church, into the body of Christ? And when I looked up the Merriam-Webster definition for status quo, it said the existing state of affairs. And the synonym for that word, status quo, meant normal. Normal. Okay? How many times do we hear that there's so many things that are coming up now in the earth that people are wanting to say is normal? And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not normal. The antonym for status quo was abnormal. So to me, what everybody is saying that may be normal or the status quo or the thing
It may not be the thing at all. And so sometimes when we say, well, it's according to the word of God and what God says, I think sometimes people say, well, you're trying to make it deep, spiritual deep. You're trying to make it too over-spiritual or whatever. But what you have to understand is the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word shall always stand. So if you think, well, the status quo is going to be here forever, not. And at the end of the day, it's going to be his word. So, again, status quo in the church. And let's take a look, a peek at how this whole status quo thing may have started. And sometimes we can start with, as a child, the peer pressure. Most likely to succeed, and who's the smartest, and who's the prettiest, and, all of these things. And so if you weren't even voted or nominated for these things, then the thing was you wasn't pretty, you wasn't going to succeed, you definitely wasn't smart. But how many of us know that's not even the case? And it's just unnecessary pressure from the enemy at an early age just go ahead and start transforming your thinking. And we all know that in kindergarten and on, that that's the most impressionable time. And I have a sister-in-law who homeschooled all of her children. Now, they are ages now 20, I think 18, 16, and 14. And she homeschooled them all. And I remember when they were starting their family, that it was certain things she would not allow her kids to watch on TV. You know, she said, because they're too impressionable at that age, and they need to be able to learn what's right and wrong and then get to a place where they can make a decision. In other words, she didn't want what was on TV to fashion their mind and their thinking, okay? And so a lot of times people say, well, there's nothing wrong with this, and this is a little fun and that. Well, just make sure that the end result is still going to be positive and not that of negative. So, again, you were voted on, she's likely to succeed or he's likely to succeed. But you know what? As I look back over even my own childhood and when I was in school, some of the people that they said that was going to be the prettiest, the smartest, the whatever, it wasn't always the case. You know, for whatever reason. And then the ones that you least likely would think are the ones who did succeed or who did, and what's the point of succeeding and being smart if you're not going to use it for somebody else anyway? It's to reach out and help others. So even though they may not, the atmosphere, the status quo, you know, they may not come out and say, well, you're not important. But they can give that atmosphere, that vibe, you know, of like, you're not really anybody. And see, we get into, you know, in childhood, we want to be accepted and things. Some people do, the majority of people want to be accepted and things like that. But the thing about it, at what cost do you want to be accepted? Because if you start doing that in elementary and middle school, it goes into the teen years, and then you can go into college, and then you can get married still wanting to be accepted and lowering down your standards to be accepted, only to find out that when you do that, they only want you for what you're falsely presenting. And then you get into this identity thing. You know, maybe, let me relate like this. It's like when you're with one person, you're this way. When you're another person, you're that way with the status quo. And you know what happens? You get confused because you don't know how you was with the person you were supposed to be. You're all any which way when you just should be yourself who God created you because you're, the Bible says in Psalms, I believe 139, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when you follow the path God has for you and you stay in your lane, and not get in someone else's lane, like my husband says, then you won't stumble and you won't cause someone else to stumble. So, again, status quo in the church. And even in the church, with our walk with God, you know, we want to look and say, oh, I wish I could believe like so-and-so please God. I wish I could do like so-and-so and so-and-so this and so-and-so that. And it's like, and sometimes people can portray that they have this wonderful, magnificent, supernatural intervention relationship with God. And you look at that, and if you don't know it by your heart and spirit, you think, that's it, that's what I want. But here's the deal. You can have that same type of relationship with the Father, just like anybody else in the body of Christ. It shouldn't be a status quo. It shouldn't be in the body of Christ, or even in the walk with God. How can you status quo your walk with God, the Father? And I have a scripture we're going to turn to in Romans 12. And I want to read it from the King James Version first. And here it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, talking to you personally, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, so y'all ought to say the grace is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, what, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. So we all have our measure. It depends on what you do to develop. And this is saying the measure of faith. But you all have that measure that God has placed in each one of you. You need to develop that measure in the things of God. And you're not supposed to be trying to measure up to somebody else. I'm telling you, status quo will bring what you call stress. And you know what? People are leaving out of here quick. And most of the time it's stress. So I'm waiting to hear from y'all out there. I said we're going to do this together. I got a question here from Bob. Says, do you mean church as normal or as usual? That's kind of interesting. Normal or usual? Okay, Bob, could you chat back and give me a little more info on that? I'm going to answer this based on what I think that you're saying. When I say church, let me say it like this. God is doing something in the church. And what he is doing in the church, and I'm saying in the body of Christ, it is not what you call normal. We're in a different dispensation. In Isaiah, it says he is doing a new thing. Matter of fact, let's see if we can turn there. Isaiah, the Lord is doing a new thing. It reminds me of also something that I had shared with the church. I was sharing with them that a lot of times we have a word from God that maybe God gave us years ago for that time. But we still trying to produce it and bring it over into this time. Now, God's word is forever and ever. It's forever settled in heaven. So we're not saying that his word is old. Not perceive it? Do you not know it? Will you not even give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Again, in Hebrews, it tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what we want to make sure is that we're sensitive to what God is doing now. I don't think it is church as usual. It hasn't been church as usual, I can say, to my knowledge, in the last 4 or 5 years. And when I say usual, Bob, what I mean is you go in, you know, you sit on the pew, you in at 10, you out by 11. You know, the Spirit of God cannot move. The people aren't being exhorted, encouraged, or anything like that. What God is looking for is a people where he can come together, assemble together, and where the Spirit of God can move and touch the lives of every person in there so then they can go out and empower. So, Bob, I hope that answers your question. How do you, Shannon says, how do we get from the normal to the extraordinary? You know what? Normal, complacent, to reaching into that place. And one thing that I know, again, Shannon, is through the Word of God. And when you have a desire and you say, Father, I'm in a normal. And I know, Father God, there's nothing normal per se about you. Because even your Word says that the things that you do, that you don't even think like we think, Father. In Isaiah, and it says that as the rain and the snow come from heaven and cannot return thither, so shall your word be that go forth out of your mouth. It will accomplish everything that you set it to do. But your ways is higher than our ways. So you're saying, Shannon, you say, Lord, okay, this is normal. I'm ready to move in the extraordinary. And when you speak that to the Father, then he begins to show you step by step from level to level, from glory to glory. It is a process, but the more willingness and obedient you are to hear him, and then also, Shannon, you know, to make the adjustment, then that's how you begin to move into the extraordinary. It's like I was teaching on Wednesday. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a heart matter, heart issues. And also there's a pruning that takes place, and that's found in John 15. There's a pruning. So what you're saying, Shannon, so let's turn to John 15, and let's look at that. Because when you're being pruned, taking all the dead stuff off, so it says you can bring forth richer fruit. And that's what you're talking about, Shannon, really. It says here in John, St. John 15 and 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. And if a person, verse 6, does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire. Let's go up in verse 4. Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding and being vitally connected to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. So when you're pruning, you know, it's not really comfortable. You know, nobody likes to be pruned at that time, right? But it's getting all the deadness out of your life. And like I said Wednesday, there's nothing worse than smelling rotten fruit. You know, you're not allowing him to prune you so you can bring forth richer fruit, which is going to take you into the extraordinary. Okay? Roy, I believe it's right. Is status quo on the church, in the church, comparing ourselves to others? It is. It's like what I just said. It's like, you know, you're comparing your walk with somebody else. And you know what happens? See, you don't know what they did to receive maybe the manifestation that they have. So you look and you say, oh, I'm gonna do what Joe did over here. But Joe may not tell you everything he did to attain that. So yes, the status quo of trying to compare, and you know what Paul says in Corinthians, he said, comparing yourself with somebody else is not wise. I'm gonna see if I can find that. So you know what, if Paul is telling you you shouldn't do it, then they let you know they was in the church comparing themselves. to each other. And when you do that, in other words, you're not being, I say, content or settled in where you are with God so he can prune and grow you to give better fruit, richer fruit. And so you're looking and you're measuring yourself up to somebody else. And that's something that is really, you know what? It doesn't please God. You know why? Because in Hebrews it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what you're saying is you don't have faith in God the Father, that he gave you the measure of faith of your measure or your portion to bring you to the place that he desires you to be. It's like you're not trusting him to do that. Let's see if I can find the scripture right quick. So, Roy, while I'm going ahead and looking up this scripture, I want to go ahead and pray with you. Father, I thank you right now for Roy, and I thank you for giving him understanding and opening his eyes to the things of you even more. I thank you, Lord, for the circumcision of the heart, for his heart, him allowing you, Father, to reveal those things that need to be uprooted and taken out and more of you put in him, Father. I thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit, who walk after Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. I need to find that really quickly. Glory to God, because that's coming to me while I'm praying for you, Roy. Hallelujah. Let me give this scripture first. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. Not that we have the audacity to venture to class or even to compare ourselves with some who exalt and furnish testimonials for themselves. However, when they measure themselves with themselves, they compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding and have behaved wisely. That's 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 as far as comparing yourselves. And Romans, I want to get to Romans. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 8. This is for you, Roy. Hallelujah. Romans 8, it says this, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Well, I'm going to read the King James first. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Roy, has made you free from the law of sin and death. You are a born-again believer. This applies to you, Roy. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, the Holy Spirit will convict you. That's from the Holy Spirit. But God will not condemn you. So let me read this from the Amplified. Therefore, there is no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh. And we also know the flesh is not just a body, but it's a way of thinking that's contrary to the Word of God. But after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed Roy from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of his power over all who accept that sacrifice. So that's what I pray over you today, Roy. And anyone else that hears that prayer, listen, you can receive it for yourself. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. All right, keep on talking to me. A question from Jane. This is a good question. There is so much going on with the leaders of the church. How do we as members, should we pray for them and move forward? Let me say this, James.
if you, I like to describe it as this. In Timothy, it does say to pray for those who are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and holiness. That doesn't just mean our government, but it does mean our leaders, our pastors, you know, and things like that. And because it seems like there is so much going on, that it can be almost discouraging to the members. And we have to make sure that when we're looking at that person, we have to realize that that person, that pastor, is just a vessel used of God. And one thing that I had noticed is that sometimes we may not be praying for our leaders as we should be. Hey, we need, let me tell you, James, we need prayer. We need protection. You know, we know that Jesus, he's interceding for us. But the members, especially, if not of a certain church, but even of other churches, if a pastor or someone comes across your mind, you should pray for them. I believe it's in Thessalonians. I'm going to look that up. It says that we should pray for the pastors and leaders because not all people have the faith. So if you see situations going on, you don't want to judge it, you know. And you definitely, James, whatever you do, if you discuss it with somebody, you even want to watch your words because of this. If that man or woman of God, that leader, is anointed by God, you don't want to put your hand on them. The best thing to do would be, I lift up that pastor so-and-so that's going through that, and you ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you, even with other tongues, to pray through you. And when you're praying in tongues, you know you're going to pray specifically about the ins and outs about that situation. And then you're praying and edifying yourself and asking the Lord, help me to move forward. Because you don't want to be like Lot's wife in the Bible. You know, she looked back. See, the Lord delivered them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered them. And he said specifically, he told them, don't look back. I'm destroying the city. But you know what? She had a desire and a lust to look back. And when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. She disobeyed. So when you're moving forward, you say, Lord, I don't want to look back. There's nothing to look back to. And you also want the Lord to help you with your trust, James, as far as leadership. Because a lot of times when things take place and so much is going on, a person can tend to say, where everybody's just acting crazy. Nobody is right, and this and that and the other. So we don't want to get that attitude either. So let me see if I can find this scripture. But we're to always pray, and I so encourage you, Jane, pray for your pastors, your leaders. Every day you should pray for them. Every day. Because sometimes there's so many things that's going on. And see, what you can do, you can throw it the hand of the enemy. Because, see, the enemy is going to try to destroy. And who is he going to hit? You know, he's going to try to come against those that are preaching the word of God and truthfully preaching the word of God. But, see, the enemy is not so much trying to attack the person. He's trying to attack the word that they're preaching. In other words, the enemy is trying to make God look like a liar. That's the bottom line. Let me see if I can find this in Thessalonians. I believe it is. It's right here. Praise God. I have another question. I'm going to go ahead and answer this while I'm looking up this scripture. This is from Leanne. Okay, let me read this scripture first. In 2 Thessalonians 3, let me read that. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And I believe I'm going to verse 2 here. Because it said, not all... And that verse 2, and that we may be delivered, okay, from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. They don't have the faith. So we have to pray. And sometimes, James, people will say, well, pastors and people, they don't need no prayer. That's another thing. They figure because they pastors or apostles, oh, they don't need no prayer. They got a direct line to God, and it's never busy and all of that. Well, okay, but yeah, but they still need prayer. They need to be lifted up before God the Father. They need angelic hosts of protection around them. You know, if you're minding your business, James, at 3 o'clock in the morning and a pastor come across your mind, well, then he ain't coming across your mind just because you can't sleep. You need to get up and pray for him. Amen. Leanne, can you talk about walking in miracles of God or, praise the Lord, walking in the miracles of God? Okay, let's talk about that with the miracles. You know, this is what I believe in my heart. I believe every day, every hour, we are walking in the miracle of God. Okay? And the reason why I say that is because just the fact of knowing he is on the inside of us and that he desires. You know what the Lord said to me, Leanne, the other day? I said, Lord, I said, oh, I sure want to see you. And he said to me, Patricia, just as much as you want to see me, I want to be seen in your life. And so it was like just as much as we want to seek his face, guess what? He wants to be sought out. He wants to be in your face too. And so when we talk about miracles, there's two or three different definitions that come to me. One thing, the idea that comes to me is, say for instance, if somebody needs a financial situation immediately, and they get it. They call that, oh, that's a miracle. But see, miracles should be like a pendulum on a clock. It just goes. It's all the time. It's not like, well, I had a miracle today, and it's going to be 3 years before I get another miracle. In walking in the miracles of God, and even let's step over a little bit into creative miracles. And what I mean by creative miracles, I mean, I have witnessed in the past year and even in the past 30 days a creative miracle where, for an example, one person's leg was shorter than the other and it actually grew out. That's a creative miracle. An arm was short, creative miracle. Those things are happening now. And a lot of times people say, well, that only happens overseas. That only happens over, it's happening in the U.S. of A. So when you want to walk in the miracles of God, one thing that really brings about, and that's why I say it's a daily, is the compassion in your heart that you have. In other words, when you see somebody that may be physically miserable, I mean, I'm talking, they may be crippled, they need to work, but yet in your heart, you're like, oh, I sure would like to see them straight and walking or this or that or other. See, the compassion of the Lord has to be there. It's like, you know, why do we want to see? Do we want to see it because we know that's got to be uncomfortable? That's got to be this. It has to be that. And so, therefore, that compassion of God is in us, and we begin to pray, Lord, we thank you for wrought a miracle in that person's life. But we want to live like it's like the pendulum on a clock, like the big old grandfather clock. You see that big pendulum going back and forth. It should be a consistent. And I believe personally that that is what God is doing in the earth right now. And I believe that we're going to not only hear more, we're going to see more things. Even yourself, Leanne, you're going to probably begin to see more. You're going to hear more true testimony. The reason why I say true, I'm talking about them true. God really did this, not perpetrating testimonies. You know, I'm talking about those things that people say, there's no way that could have happened. And then you see it happen and you know it's God. Walking in the fullness of God's gift. That's a question that's come through Linda. Walking in the fullness of God's gift. When you're speaking about God's gift, are we speaking of the gifts of prophesying, interpretation of tongues, and things of that nature? Let's turn to that in Corinthians. You know, one thing, while we're going to turn there, what we desire as the body of Christ is when the Bible says that the gifts will operate as what? As the Holy Spirit wills. And yes, there are different giftings. And here is the main thing that I've learned also. And why do we want the gifts to work? Because there was a time in the church world, everybody wanted to have the gift. And then on top of that, they wanted to prostitute the gift. And I'll say that again, in case y'all went to sleep. I said they want to prostitute the gifts of God. Now tell me how you're going to do that. It's God. He's using you. And then you're going to say, give me $25, I'll tell you something else. Or whatever. I'm talking to the church. But when you have a heart, Linda, a person has a heart, I desire the gifts to work in me fully. So that in with the fullness of God that's in me, that is in you, you're wanting that to begin to come forth. Why? For the edifying of the body, to help somebody. In other words, if you're at work and somebody, you know, just may look like everything is right, you know, but in your spirit you discern by the gifts that, you know what, there is something really detrimental. There's something wrong. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. There's something wrong with that individual because everybody may not come out and tell you, and that's how the Holy Spirit can reveal it to you so that that gift can come forth and say, Linda, okay, I know that that person looks like all is well, but there is something serious going on in their family, their daughter, their son, or even their body, and I'm going to reveal it to you so that you can go and you can minister to them. And in order to do that, the more we can do that is becoming even more sensitive to the voice of God, the hearing, being more alert to what he is saying. Because you could be even at the store, I've said this before, and you walk by somebody. And that's why we can't go by feeling. We can never go by these natural feelings. But in your spirit, you sense, I just need to go and speak to that person. And sometimes when you go to speak, the next thing you know, a conversation comes out. Now, even sometimes when you're talking to them, you're kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm talking to this person I don't know, but I know that you led me. And then the gifts begin to operate as he will because he knows what's needed. And again, it's a step. I said, you know what? It's a step of faith. Because you got to be willing to say what you believe God is saying, even if you think one of it's wrong. So the whole time you're walking towards somebody, you know, you've got this thing going on. But then the more you step out and trust God, the easier. And as long as you've got the word of God, you've got the word of God in you. And his words, like I said Wednesday, he said he has put his words in our mouth. He has put his word. So see, it's not your word. It's going to be that gifting coming forth. And there's nothing like it because when you get finished, you're kind of like, thank you. I obeyed you. And what scripture was I looking for? Audience? Yeah, I'm trying to get some help over here, audience. I got people here trying to get them to help me. You know, got my help with me. Praise the Lord. What I want to say to the audience is, again, why do we do what we do? Which goes back to status quo. Why do we do what we do? Is it to glorify God the Father? Or is it so we can be seen? If so-and-so prophesies three times, you want to do five? So, I mean, why do we do, what's the motive behind it? Because, see, only God can be glorified. And see, again, there's a lot of pruning that takes place. So when we're talking about the gifts, or when we're talking about working miracles, remember now, you're going to get going to be some cutting. They ain't going to be dull either. They're going to be sharp. You know why? Because like I said, Wednesday, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And the thing about it, we were talking about, you know what, in our heart, there can be hidden things. And it's a scripture in Matthew, I believe. It says, whatever plant that the Heavenly Father did not plant, Jesus is saying, it will be uprooted. And so we want those things uprooted, and then we want to be planted with the image of God the Father since we were made in his likeness. So again, the status quo can go with that thing about why do we do what you think about that? Why do you do anything that you do as far as the kingdom of God, as far as your life? Why? Some people spend their whole life doing things to please other people, and then people don't even pay no attention. And let's talk about that for a minute. Even with our parents, a lot of times we want their approval. And we want them to be proud of us and to be pleased. And I understand with that. But that should never overstep or overtake the place of what you really want the Father to think of. Which he only thinks good of you according to Jeremiah 29:11. But his approval is what you should really want. That's what you should really want. Because when he's pleased with you, that's what matters. And I say that because this thing with the parent thing can become, again, another stress. It'd be a stress issue. And I'm talking about you an adult right now. I'm talking about an adult right now that's under so much pressure trying to still please their parents. And this person has got to be, I know right now, at least over 30 years old. And your whole life has been engulfed around your parents and what your parents think and what they don't think. I'm not saying you don't respect and honor them. You do. But let me tell you something. God gave you to them, yes. They were the vessels that brought you in the earth. And you honor and respect them, but you should be more concerned right now with what God is thinking, what God is saying. Because you know what? While they're saying no, no, God could very well be saying, I want to talk to you. I love you. I think that you're special. Or things like that. But there's someone specific out there. You have been so engulfed. I mean engulfed. Your entire life has been about what your parents think about you. And you know what the danger is? Hallelujah. Let me tell you what the danger has been. It has caused a lot of stress on your body. A lot of stress on your body. A lot of stress. And you need to get relieved and released from that today in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I'm still waiting to hear if anybody's got any more questions out there. I'm really stuck on this person that is so engulfed in this. It's been like a burden. It's been a burden. I mean, every day you are going through this weight with this. Every day. You wake up in the morning. It's like you even wake up thinking what they're going to think about that day and what you do. Glory to God. We speak freedom to you in Jesus' name. Because Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, according to John 10:10, until the full, until it overflows. Hallelujah. Another question is, how does the church step out of status quo? And you know what just come to me is, how does the church step out of religion? Because status quo is religion. It really is. And the only way the church can step out of status quo is, first of all, the head or the leader has to step out of it. Because it does trickle down. So you have to make sure. In other words, when I say religion, again, this man-made criteria that has tried to define the church, but it has to start at the top. Now, the people, say the people in the church, the members that recognize it by the Spirit of God, what they can do is what I just told James a while ago. They can pray for that leader, that it would be revealed to them, that they would be revealed to them that they will, in other words, let's say this. If you discern and you see in the church, whoever brought this question about the status quo, which again some of it is religion, that you don't want to so per se talk about that leader. What you want to do is, okay, I discern this is going on, and let me tell you something. That don't mean you have to pick up the phone and tell another member either. You gotta watch that, those tale-bearing spirits. See, because see, you can say, you know, so and so, I don't know, but you know, I just want you to pray with me about this. But I just think that it's a status quo. It's just kind of a cliquish thing. And what you think about that? Sometimes you need to pray in your prayer closet and let him just reward open and do what he wants to do. So if you sense that in the church, in a church that you're in, you want to pray for that leader, that his eyes will be open. And it doesn't mean that his eyes isn't already open, but it could be it is, and he's praying and seeking wisdom on how to zero in on it to deal with it. So, and also remember now, you are the church. You are the church. And so make sure, whoever this question came from, that you do a checklist on yourself. So just make sure that if that you may not have not been accidentally seduced into that religion or status quo and not know it, and not know it at all. You know, sometimes things happen like that, and we're not aware of it. But then as God begins to reveal, it goes back to the pruning. See, when you're praying and you're in the Word and meditating and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, you need to kind of work on this or you need to kind of do that, it's good to go ahead and do that and allow the Holy Spirit to help and prune you so that you can give that richer fruit, abundant fruit. So the church begins to step out of it. When they first they recognize and reveal it, and then they begin to pray about it, and then pray according to the Word of God, not just pulling something out of the air, because it's a form of a spirit, and it will kind of try to choke out the Word. It will try to choke out truth. So I hope that answers your question. And what did you have? We have one more thing, shadow on my end. Okay, praise God. Glory. Well, hey, you know, the Holy Ghost is always on it, isn't it? And we just got a response to what I was feeling in the Spirit by the Holy Ghost about this with the parents. And so I'm going to go ahead and we're just going to pray for you, because the way it was coming to me in my spirit, and it's too much. It's absolutely too much. And I do have your name, and I know there's several, many of them out there, so I'm going to say it, and that's Susan. I got your message, sweetheart. And so in the name of Jesus, I just lift you up before the Father, and I come against and I bind up this heavy weight, this stress regarding your parents, and the pressure that they have put on you, whether accidentally or even on purpose, which may have been something that come from their own childhood. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and release the anointing of God that will remove every burden and destroy every yoke with Susan regarding this, that, Father God, she will not continue to meditate on the negative and stress herself out to where she can't even function in a normal life. I say normal, but according to the things of God. Lord, I come against any headaches in the name of Jesus, any type of physical any physical ailments that have taken place because of this overdue stress issue regarding this parental situation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we call Susan healed. We call her delivered and set free. Now, Father, we release the peace of God right now that surpasses all understanding, according to Philippians 4, and it shall guard and keep her heart in Christ Jesus. We bind a tormenting spirit. We bind the spirit of fear and anxiety and stress. And, Father, if she's had to take any type of medication at all for any type of depression, Father, anything like that, any anxiety attacks, anything, we declare right now that those things are uprooted up out of her in Jesus' name. Father, we speak to the root of the issue. And, Father, that Susan will forgive her parents, and that she forgives herself for even allowing it to overtake her, to bring her to the point, even to the point of suicide at some point, at some time in her life. But God, you are greater, and you have something you want to say to Susan, and you want to tell her how much she means to you, Father God, and you want to tell her she has a purpose here on earth. Father God, you want to tell her how her footsteps are ordered by you. You want to minister to her, but she hasn't been able to fully hear you because of the things, the thoughts. There's been a lot of thoughts that you keep rehearsing, Susan, and rehearsing. You got to stop rehearsing those thoughts. You need to stop hitting rewind. Just let it go. Some images of some things, too, that you've seen over the years growing up. Let those images go. In Corinthians, it says that we're to cast down imaginations. If you could find that for me. Sister, cast down imaginations. Cast down imaginations, Susan, and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge and the purpose of God. We have to cast that down. Glory to God. So any imaginations, any images that are negative, hurtful, painful, any words that have been spoken to you that are hurtful and painful, any disappointments, anything like that regarding your childhood and all the way up to now, regarding the parental issues, let those things go. And no matter how your flesh and your body might want to pick it back up and have a pity party, don't even do it. But I want to find that, because we got 2 minutes here. Ooh, that's hairy, hairy. We have any more phone calls? Susan, I want to hear back from you. So make sure that you you email Soul of the City, please. Because we're just believing that you're set free in the name of Jesus. And that you get in the word on peace. Get in the word about rest. You're going to be all right, Susan. You're going to be all right. And even after this prayer, you know, if you should come across any words, oh, we got 90 seconds. Find your scriptures on peace. Philippians 4 is one of them. And then Corinthians, you have that scripture. First Corinthians. If you email Soul of the City, she can email it back to you because our time is out. God, we thank you so much for this day and for sharing with us about status quo in the church. We thank you that the question. So we give you praise and glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus and all that agreed. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Amen. This is Soul in the City.